Lord to bless His Word to our hearts. And, you know, we've been studying for some time now about love and the different aspects of love. And, you know, love is one thing. If there's one thing could be preached about for a long time, you could preach about love for a long time. There's a lot. You could hardly exhaust it, because to begin with, the Scripture says God is love. And love is so important to every one of our hearts and lives. We need love, don't we? Babies need love. Babies need touched. Without it, the truth is they'll probably be deficient in life. They need touch. That means so much for their development. And so this morning, we want love. All of us want love, whether we know it or not, and whether we know how to receive love or not. You know, last week we talked about a little bit about love is made up of elements, and we talked about steel and how that steel is made from iron, mostly almost all iron, 90-something percent. In the high 90s, and then a little bit of other stuff. Carbon is maybe less than 1%, but you mix that together and put it under heat, and it becomes something so very different than just iron. Steel is basically iron, but it's mixed, and it's mixed at a very high temperature, and it becomes something very durable, very strong, long-lasting. And it'll be there through many decades or maybe centuries sometimes, even if it's protected from moisture. And it'll be there for a long time to come. And, you know, I think love is a little bit like that too. Love is made up of different elements. And, you know, we have a basic feeling and a basic something in our heart that God puts there. He puts there in human beings, even before they're saved. There's an element of God there that makes us recognize love and makes us want to give love. But when we get a hold of the Lord and we get saved and we be filled with His Spirit, love can take on so much more, can't it? There's just a lot that God wants to put into our lives. And I just want to challenge us this morning that love is a wonderful, necessary element in our lives. And we want to get better at it, don't we? I was thinking about yesterday. Yes, Rosie and I was walking around the house and around outside, and she had wanted me to give her at least 45 minutes. So I said, okay, I'm going to give you 45 minutes of undivided time. And that's not very much. I see someone snickering at that. But but still, it turned into maybe a couple hours. I don't know. But, you know, we went out, and I was just walking along. But Rosie looked down, and she saw these chrysanthemums, and they were in full bloom, and it was really beautiful. Here we are in late fall. We've already had a freeze, and you know, here were these beautiful little flowers just blooming, and I would have totally overlooked it. But I just want to challenge us this morning. Folks, love is a lot like that this morning. It's beautiful. It garnishes things. It makes it feel better. It makes it look better. You know, I took a different look at things after that because I was pulling weeds. But here were these flowers in this little patch and beautiful little things. But I would have totally overlooked it. I doubt I would have ever noticed them. But she did. You know, love is like that. You know, we can, because of our own whatever, we can overlook love. We cannot realize how much love is given to us. And I see that lots of times with, you know, maybe when I was young and I was raised, and, you know, my parents weren't perfect parents, and I knew they loved me. I never questioned that. But on the other hand, I saw so many faults, and as I got older, I realized I wished I would have known this when I was young, because I would love to go back, sit down with my dad and thank him again and again for so many things I didn't know about that he gave to me. You know, that's the way life is, isn't it? We get older, we realize things we did not realize before. And so I'm glad the last couple of years we did get a lot closer. But you know, love is like those chrysanthemums. It's like we look out across and we just are privileged. Thank the Lord, just this is the piece of property we found. But it's across the street from the lake. And we can look out and see the sunset down across the lake. It's beautiful. And sometimes the colors and the hues and all of those things, they just warm your soul. You look out across there, you just want to be caught in that moment and stay for a while. But life moves on, doesn't it? You know what? Love is like that. There's a song we have in our book, number 253, Love Each Other. And it says, when the heart is sad and lonely, and the eyes with tears overflow. Now, if you're young, you may not know what this is talking about. Maybe not. Maybe you do. But you're going to know probably one day. And the eyes with tears overflow. Gentle words and deeds of kindness fall like sunbeams on the snow. Well, all of us that live here have seen snow. We know what it's like, don't we? We know what the beauty of sunbeams falling down across the snow is, don't we? That's the way words and deeds of kindness are. And you know, as we get older, I think we learn more and more about how to give love, about how not to try to give what we might think is love, or the peace of mind that we think someone needs, or whatever it is. You know, I want this morning for the Lord to just enlarge our desire, because I couldn't say 1% of everything that the Lord could deal with each one of us on. But I will tell you, the Lord wants our hearts to be full of love. You know, we can have, and I want to spend a little time with some of this before we go on. We can have a feeling of love in our heart. And it's so real, isn't it? We can feel love towards somebody. That's wonderful, isn't it? That we feel that. The saints are full of love. I want to tell you, the saints are full of love. If you don't know that, you're going to find it out. Most likely, unless you get embittered by something. And that happens, because if we don't forgive the little things, then we'll get embittered about something and we will miss all the love that there is. And so the saints, God's people, are full of God and they're full of love. And that's what I found them to be in 40 years. In a long time, I'll just say it that way. With the saints, I've realized the love that is so much there. You know, when we mix with that inner desire, words and actions, you know, that's when love begins to take on another element, another dimension. Because we can love somebody in our heart. And I want to challenge us this morning that our love is more than in our heart. We can love somebody. And do you know this is for every one of us? Because whether we feel loved or not, the Lord wants to put love in our hearts. And He wants to fill our hearts with it. And so we can love others. And He wants to make that in such a way that it has legs on it. It becomes our words. It becomes our actions in life. And I want to encourage us all that we love one another and that we one another know it. That's because we have actions with those loves, with that love, and words with that love this morning. Let's add to our iron. Okay, our iron is, let's say that iron is that basic thing that steel is made out of. And so, but there has to be some things added to it, or it becomes really unusable for many, many things, for most things. And so added to our love are these other elements that make strong and beneficial relationships with people. And I want to encourage us this morning, start in your home. Start with your spouse. Start with your children. Start with your parents. And learn to develop love. You know what? We can all do that, can't we? We can do that. There's not a place, if you read Galatians 5 and the fruits of the Spirit, you'll find that there's no place that these things, there's no law against using love. Even in correction, there's love, isn't there? Unless we are correcting, or not correcting, but abusing. There's no love in abuse. But in that love that longs for the good of another, there's something there, isn't there? And so let's put some, let's learn how to love better. And let's learn how to mix with our basic iron, that basic love that's in our hearts. Let's learn to mix words with that. Let's learn to mix actions with that. And what we will find is we will have bonds with people that become strong, that hard things can come, misunderstandings can come, and hard, difficult places can come, and it will endure. It'll still be there. It'll still be just like it was at the beginning because there's something of God in there. So I want to challenge us today to let God be in our life in a deeper way in these basic elements of love. In 1 John 3 and 1, I want to show you what the Lord, what kind of love He has and how He mentions it to us, how He communicates it to us. It says, behold. That word behold means, let's take a look at this. This is something to see. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. This is a special thing that the Lord has bestowed on us. Did you know? Have you ever looked at, have you ever realized God has bestowed love on me? You ever realize that? You say, well, why did all these bad things happen? Because of the devil? Because of life? But I will tell you, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. I don't know about you, but I don't call everybody my son in the same way. But He made us joint heirs with Jesus. Do you realize that this morning? God has made us joint heirs with His Son. He has given us a place to come to heaven, to be in His dwelling, in His house forever. The Lord has given us that, hasn't He? What a thing to behold. What manner of love. This is beyond me. This is something God gives. This is a love that, this is something. And you know, and He did it. And He did it before He set it all up without us ever doing one thing. Now, we don't have to accept His love. We can reject it. We can flatly say, I don't want to. I don't want your heaven. I don't want part. We have that. We can do that, can't we? I think we'll be awful, awful sorry if we do. But I want to tell you, God's not going to probably let you off that easy. Because He's going to keep coming. He's going to keep putting things in your way and in your path. And He's going to keep pricking your heart and mind with His love again and again. He's going to be knocking on our door. I want to tell you something. It's life-changing when you realize how much God really loves you. Did you know that? You ever thought about that? It's life-changing when we recognize the love that God has for us. It changes the way we view the trials of life. We recognize we are in this body. We suffer. But folks, the Lord wants to be in us a river of life that transcends all those kind of things. The Lord wants to be in our life. And so, you know what else He wants us to recognize this morning? It's almost equally life-changing when we recognize how much God's people love us. Did you know that? I don't know if you feel loved or not, but I want to tell you, you're loved. Whether I've communicated it from myself or not, I love you. Every one of you. I believe with an equal love. Now, some I'm closer to than others, but I want to tell you something, folks. I don't think I'm alone in here. There's a bunch of us like that, isn't there? Do you know that it's life-changing when we realize that, you know what, these people, with their faults, with their humanity, with their needs, with the things I see that ought to be different, I'm not talking about sins and ugly things like that, but folks, with their needs, with their need for growth, with their need for more understanding and all those things, do you know that the saints love you? Did you know that's life-changing? It's life-changing when I open up my eyes and I see that God loves me and there's a whole host of others that love me. You know what that changes? It changes the way we view everything. It changes the way we see everything. Because when we see everything through... I tried to feed an animal one time. I remember a little pup I was trying to feed. And I was wanting to bless this little pup, believe it or not. I was. And I was... But I couldn't get close to him because he had ducked his head and run off. You could tell this little pup's been abused. You know what? Sometimes it's so life-changing to begin the process of realizing how much we are loved. Is that all right this morning? It gives us a totally different lens through which we view life. You remember the story of Joseph, which we've mentioned so many times, and we've all heard it so many times. Do you remember the story of Joseph? And do you know that this man was evilly entreated? You know, his own brothers threw him in a well and then sold him. And they were planning to kill him. That's what they planned to do. Some of them were wanting to kill him. And they sold him. And you know, when it came time for him to give retribution, and he was in the power seat, and they were under his control, you know what he told them? It wasn't you that sent me here. It was God. Do you know, that changed the whole picture, didn't it? It was God. I don't have any bitterness toward you because it was the Lord. The Lord was working in all of that. I don't know. Joseph didn't know what God was doing all that time before. Why did this lady have him put in prison when he was the righteous one and she was the sinner? Why did he spend years in prison? Because God wanted him there. God allowed him to be there. God was developing him to be the second in command in Egypt. God had a plan for his life. I want to tell you something today. God has a plan for our life. That's why he says the things he says in his word. That's why he gives us the things that he gives us and his instructions and his commandments and all of those things. He gives them to us because he has something in mind for our life. Do we know that today? Do you know that today in your life? I'm going to ask you. Do you realize that God has something in plan for your life? And when you die, he has eternal happiness for you. God wants that. Do we recognize that he did not send his son to die for no reason? It was because he loved you. And he loved all the other sinners too. And he loved you enough to come hunting you down. That's what God is like this morning. Let's look over in Matthew 26 and 67. And I want to show you how Jesus modeled, if you will say, how he gave us the example of true love. Matthew 26 and 67, we'll read there for a bit. He says here, it says, then... they did spit in his face and buffeted him. And others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? You know, that'd be pretty demeaning when you had the power in your hand to take them out. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were with, that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now, you know, Jesus had to stand alone here. But he not only had to stand alone, but he had to see one of his best friends, one that was with him in everything. He went to the Mount of Transfiguration, all of that. And he said, I'm telling you, and he swore and cursed, I don't know the man. You know what Jesus had to overlook in order to have the kind of love for Peter that he had? He had to overlook that. And he had to forgive that. And he had to, and he loved Peter. And he showed Peter special attention, didn't he? That's the way it was. Peter didn't reject him because he was wanting to reject him. He was in self-preservation, wasn't he? Trying to preserve his own self. And so, but you know, the Lord, he showed something here. Shortly after this, he was telling Peter, Peter, I want you to go feed my sheep. You know, well, wow, where is the retribution? No, Peter, I want you to go feed my sheep. Lovest thou me, Peter? You know, I know you denied me and all that stuff, but Peter, I know you love me. You know what, this morning, we have a lot sometimes to forgive one another. And I want to urge us as families, husbands and wives, love each other. You know you have to forgive one another to love because it's not possible to do both. You have to forgive to love. And I want to encourage us this morning, let your heart be filled with God's love. It pays big dividends. It pays huge dividends. I don't know anything else that pays more in this life. In 1 Corinthians 13 and 4, we've already read this a few times the last few weeks. We'll read a few more probably. But it says, charity suffereth long. Last week we spoke about patience, didn't we? We studied a little about patience. And how patience is a piece of this love that makes it what it is. But let's go beyond that today and let's look at that next thing that we've been talking about. Excuse me. And it says, charity suffereth long and is kind. I looked up in one of the commentaries and it said the word used here denotes to be good-natured, gentle, tender, affectionate. Love is benignant. It wishes well. It is not harsh, sour, morose, ill-natured. Tyndale renders it is courteous. The idea is that under all provocations and ill usage, it is gentle and mild. Hatred prompts to harshness, severity, unkindness of expression, anger, and a desire of revenge. But love is the reverse of all these. A man who truly loves another will be kind to him. desirous of doing him good. We'll be gentle, not severe and harsh. We'll be courteous because he desires his happiness and would not pain his feelings. Now, I'm going to read the first sentence again. The word used here denotes to be good-natured, gentle, tender, affectionate. And so, this morning, if God so loved us, the scripture says, we ought also to love one another. Am I preaching something we've never heard before? Of course not. We've heard it all our life, haven't we? In different forms and ways. But I want to tell you this morning, the payoff of learning these ways. Yes, right in the place we're in. Yes, right in the time of life we're in. Right in the position of life. Right in the season of life that we are in. Love pays big dividends. I want to encourage us. That's something that we will never, ever regret. Do we have to sometimes make tough decisions? Yes, we do. Love is not a mush that has no backbone. Love does what needs to be done. It corrects when it needs to be corrected. It does the things. But I want to tell you, always it does it with a mild and gentle spirit toward those that we're working with. And that might be our wife. That might be our husband. I say that over and over because, folks, that's where it starts. That's where we learn those things. The Lord gives us all these years to become more and more, better and better understandings of love. More and more grace for love. Doesn't He tell us to grow in grace? This is what it's talking about. And as we get older, folks, we understand and we realize, I wished I'd have known this a long time ago. You know, I could have fixed this situation a lot better, but I didn't. You know, this morning, we learn, don't we? And I just want to encourage us today, open our hearts to God and to His love. And don't let anything else in. There's something about harsh, bitter, ugly. Those things are so unkind. And we're talking about love is kind this morning. In Titus 3 and 3, I mentioned the scripture, and I want us to remember that. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now, He didn't love us after we were perfect, if we think we're perfect. He loved us when we were yet offenders, sinners of all kinds. For Titus 3 and 3, he says, for we ourselves also, let me turn there. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers, all kinds of lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. And that's a very close word there with love. I didn't look that one up in the Greek this morning, but sometimes mercy and love is interchanged in different translations. I know of one time at least. But according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So the Lord help us today that we allow that kindness, that the love of God our Savior to us gave, allow that to permeate through our life and out to others. Doesn't it speak of something flowing out from under the throne in heaven? Doesn't it speak of the river of water that comes out from under the throne? And didn't Jesus say it's going to come up out of you, that it's going to flow out of us? He's talking about the graces, the goodness, the power, the love of God. And He's talking about the Holy Spirit working in our lives and how the Lord wants that to be there in great and strong fullness in our life. Kindness flows from the heart of God. And we said it's part of that river. It should radiate from our lives because of what is pulsing through our spiritual veins. So this morning, Lord, help us today to learn better how to love. And it's difficult. We get into all kinds of difficult situations, don't we? And we have love in our heart, but we don't know how to deal with certain things. And, you know, we have to work with one another, don't we? Let's open up and work with one another and allow each other to work. Kindness opens doors. I want to say this. Anyone who lets God have His way, even when judgment is needed, it'll truly be in a kind spirit. Now, is that all right? It will truly be in a kind spirit. Let's take that home with us and examine ourselves. Truly be in a kind spirit. That's what we've received of God. I noticed that even when God sent the children of Israel into captivity again and again, they paid for their sins. And yet, He was trying to teach them things over and over. And they came out of those things. You know, they finally quit idol worship, didn't they? Kindness opens doors. But listen to this one in 1 John 3 and 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. That's wonderful, isn't it? We know that, folks. When we see Him, we are going to be like Him. When we are His children. The Lord help us to enlarge our hearts. And not just have that iron inside. Not just have the basic element. You know, I love them. But folks, let's mix with it those elements that make it understood by others today. In Psalm 19, that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Oh, the Lord help us today. Let the words of my mouth, do we know this verse? Sure we do. And the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Do you know that the Lord longs for our words and our meditation within our hearts to be acceptable to Him this morning? And when it is, it brings forth fruit. It's the neatest thing to sow seeds and then see them come up. And you know what they are because of what was sown. You know what? When we make peace, when we see those things, when we put the seeds in the ground and they begin to come up, we know what's coming up, don't we? Because that's what we sowed. And so I want to read one more place here in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. I may have read this in some of the last time or two, but it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, folks, we could do a whole study just on one of those verses, much less all three of them, or two of them. You know, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And remind yourself and look back. How did Christ forgive me? Did I have any sins when He forgave me? You better believe it, you did. Scriptures tell us that. So we just will admit it. We had some sins, didn't we? And He forgave us. And He wiped it clean. And He said, forgive one another like that. And wipe it clean. And then let there be a new slate. You know, the Lord loves to inject Himself into our relationships. Folks, our relationships are what they are. We have to be open with one another. We have to express ourselves, our differences, our disagreements, all of those things. We do that, don't we? It's part of life, isn't it? But I'll tell you what Jesus said would tell the world something when he saw that we loved each other. And I see that with the saints, and I love that. I want to tell you something. I love to see that because I know that when all the dust settles, folks, whatever situation we get in, if we keep the love of God in our heart, we're going to love each other just like we did before. Oh, this morning, husbands and wives, you can do that. You can love each other. And I know we have a good share here. The Lord blesses us. But I want to tell you, we're in life, aren't we? And we find a whole world that falls out of love. That's the world. That's the world's way. But the Lord wants us to be in love. He wants us to have God's love. That love has elements in it of forgiveness, of kindness, of all of those things, of patience, of long enduring and suffering with one another. And when we let those mix and we let God put them under pressure and heat, they become matured. They become something strong. They become bonds that never can be broken. That's why we sing those songs. They can't be broken unless somebody gives the love up out of their heart. So the Lord help us today to have those kind of things. You know, patience tries to prevent a problem. It tries to keep a problem from happening. It bears with things. God wants us to have that as part of our love. But kindness goes beyond that. And it makes a blessing, doesn't it? Kindness makes a blessing. And so you put all these in together. You see the preventives. You see the proactives. God wants those in our lives. And he wants us to be filled with those things. Folks, it'll take us to heaven. I love you people. I love the saints. Some of you have hurt me. And I've hurt some of you. But I want to tell you something. I love you just like I always did. Because God helps us, doesn't he? And I know many of you do the same. We love one another. It's a trademark of God's people. He wants our homes to show that. He wants our relationships to show that. And so the Lord bless each one. You pray for me. We have an awesome, awesome gift of God in love. And we want it to be so. And let's don't let anything stop it. And let's don't let it be just in our hearts. But let's let it mix with works, with words, with those things. Let's overcome on our knees. Don't we sometimes have to get on our knees and overcome? I have had to, folks. I'm not a person that just gets hurt real easy, but I have been hurt at times and hurt bad a few times. But I'll tell you something. I have found that the grace of God is big enough to change me. And we have to go to the Lord. Lord, I need my thoughts changed. I need my feelings changed. Because I know you want me to love them with a pure heart fervently. And you know, when we do that, everything's okay. All the things can be melted out of the way. Believe it or not, it can. And all of a sudden, life can go on. It can do that. It comes through the grace of God and his love in our hearts. You pray for me.